Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Stetzler? Who? Who are you with? This is the change. We have made the change.
Did I say Stetzler?
To the introduction, where I am now Ed Stetzler. And it's good to be here, Daniel Lim. I'm so glad to. Daniel In. I don't know.
Okay. So, Ed, the intro, because I know you've
been. This is going to be the last time. This is the last intro. I'm telling you, because people are sending in their ideas. And if you haven't sent in your ideas yet, let me say to you again, I'm giving away a free version of Breaking the 200 Barrier, kind of I sell it Mission Group, for free to the person who comes up with the best new intro. So send it to Daniel@newchurches.com or Daniel, I could say, I give you a different name, Doug, since we're changing names right now.
Okay, so here's the thing that was very strategic about the intro. We've talked, newchurches.com has a lot of resources, that has a lot of training.
Yes.
It's about church planting, it's about multi-site, there's a community.
Yes.
But here's the piece that I really want us to focus in on today, and it's the last four words, to help you thrive.
Yep.
Now, as it relates to thriving in leadership, we know the importance of being emotionally, spiritually, and also physically healthy. Otherwise, we're all going to get super fat during COVID-19 with all the snacks. But there's really that sense of what does thriving look like?
Yeah.
And that emotional and spiritual health is just, it's so important.
Yeah, for sure. And I've certainly been convicted in my own life of this. In January, I think I shared with you, I actually turned to Donna. And I was actually reading about coronavirus. I don't think they were calling it COVID-19 at the time, just coronavirus. And I said, Donna, I think it's going to be the biggest deal of our lifetime. And she said, no. And I said, oh yeah, they're going to shut schools. They're going to do this. And I was in January teaching a class. So I said to her, I need to get in shape. I need to lose some weight because anyone knows me knows I'm pretty overweight. So I started in January, and part of it is the exercise routine. I've lost over 50 pounds since January, and I got a ways to go. And I'm not anyone's like weight loss tutor or anything. I've lost weight before. I've gained it back. But for me, it kind of came out of that sense that I need to be very careful physically and make that a higher priority than it's been. I should have done that 30 years ago, but I am doing that now. And what I would say is, and not just that, but if we look at kind of other stuff, let me give you an example. In church planting world, we were all kind of shocked by the death of Darren Patrick. And we grieved, and we were grieving with Amy and the kids. And we were also recognizing and remembering that, and we'll put this in the episode notes, an article I wrote about Darren and his love for pastors. Darren would want you to know that you don't need to be alone. You need help for other people. From other people, you need a community around you. And, Darren kind of dedicated the last few years of his ministry to pastors, to making better decisions. And he was pretty transparent, in some ways better decisions than he felt he did. I love the fact that we can and must find that kind of good, helpful, biblical community in ways that are life-giving and help church planters to thrive. I think that's one thing we could honor Darren's legacy with, is to make sure that we are with others and building relationship with others. One of the reasons too, so we actually partner together with the National Association of Evangelicals and the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. We had this kind of connection. And we've brought together partners like the National Christian Foundation of South Florida, Church United, and then ministries like PastorServe, SoulCare.com, Mindy Calaguire, someone of that name, and Lance Witt at Replenish. Mm. And we've brought all of them together at church, ResilientChurchLeadership.com. That's ResilientChurchLeadership.com. Everything there's free, including, by the way, some help you can get if you're just stuck, you need someone to talk to. We've got all kinds of resources because one of the things, we're always shocked when we hear about a crisis. And I don't think we should be. I think the work we're in is crisis-prone work. And you're maybe not a first responder. You know, we hear those language like first responder, and that's great. Those are the ones who run towards the danger. And we're so thankful for them. But let's not forget that you're a second responder. You're come alongside providing long-term care and encouragement, and you know, even a third responder. So, you know, again, there's actually literally people who like talk about these things, you know, second responders, those who work with first responders. But, you know, I don't know of a crisis where we are not, as pastors and church leaders, second or third responders, where we're there to help, you know, providing for needs for people who are hurting and who are struggling and more. So I think, you know, that third responders often take the time to care and to nurture and more. And so what I'd say is there's stress on you. There's stress on you right now in the middle of this coronavirus crisis. There's stress on you, immense stress on you, maybe in your family. You know, my daughter who was supposed to graduate, you know, we see the stress in her. My oldest daughter, who's all of her college friends just disappeared and went away in like 3 days notice. We see the stress on her. You know, I see it in all three of my daughters. I see it in my life. I see it in Donna's life and more. So there's a lot sort of going on and a lot of challenges for sure.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the difference between prevention and intervention and just the simple situation that I think most of us are know of, right? There's that crisis. There's a couple, there's an individual that comes to you at your church and they're like, oh, you know, we're going through this or we don't have any help. And can you help? And they reach directly out to you as the pastor or to your staff. And immediately you're like, okay, are you in a group? And they're like, no. Are you connected? Are you serving? And they're absolutely, I mean, they've been coming to the church for years, but they're absolutely connected to no one. And they've just been coming on Sunday here and there. And now they reached out and they're like, oh, can I have help? Can I, you know, we're having this or, and it's just, you can only do so much as the pastor. And you're like, well, you in the back of your mind, you're like, well, that's why you're supposed to be in a group.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you're supposed to be serving and in community. Didn't you hear me talk about this? And in a sense, you're like, man, if you could just roll back time, and if a year ago you were in a group and you were, then right now you would be able to journey together so deeply with so many other people who could help you in that situation. And in a sense, when we see stories like this with Darren, and there's so many stories and resources around intervention that are there, and definitely check out Resilient Church Leadership and all the other links that Ed reached out or that he shared on. But there definitely is that sense of what can we do if we don't feel that way right now? What can we do now so that maybe it can help us move and we can build up more healthy systems of prevention so that there's not so much intervention personally as caregivers, as as pastors?
Yeah. And I think ultimately it depends upon where we are. If we're in crisis right now, even something as simple as calling the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, you know, 800-273-8255, so there's that reality. And then, you know, Focus on the Family has kind of a one for pastors and families. We have some connections you can make as well at resilientchurchleadership.com. So that's the in crisis mode. If you're not in crisis mode, I think ultimately it's a question of building the kind of structure that can support you in the down times and the challenging times. So I think you can do that with soul care. Again, that's why, you know, even our site is Resilient Church Leadership. It's not necessarily crisis because there are crises, but we're trying to get people to be resilient with systems and structures to help support the kind of ongoing care that they can and should need for those kinds of relationships. So I think it really depends on where you are on the response or the spectrum, if you will. How would you respond to that, from crisis to, all right, what if you're not in any crisis at all? What a great time to start building up, have somebody in your life. I talked to a pastor recently who said that his elders, not all of them, but a couple of them specifically, call his wife, see, how's it going around the home? How's your relationship there? You know, all in a trust relationship. And I think that's a powerful thing, but you got to build that in the times when you're not in crisis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I love about our elders at my church, where they regularly ask me, hey, how are you doing? And they were like, hey, Daniel, we need you to develop and find and recruit a prayer team that's going to be praying for you individually. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, people pray for me. And they're like, no, we want you to find a team of people who are going to commit to praying for you every single day. So I'm so grateful that for the elders at my church to speak into me in that way. But one of the things that I've been regularly talking to our staff about in the midst of this pandemic is, hey guys, this isn't a sprint. I know it's felt like a sprint these last couple months as we've had to wrestle with, okay, what is online church and groups and kids ministry and all that stuff looks like. And I know we've been putting in a lot of hours, a lot more hours than we typically are used to. But guys, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon, and we can't be burning the candle at both ends. And specifically, this all came up because the summer is coming up, and typically people have vacations, and it's, can you even take a vacation? Can you even go anywhere? And the thing that I was really focusing in on with our team, I was like, hey guys, yes, vacation is important. Please schedule your vacation. But here's the thing. You can't rely on your vacation for renewal and refreshment and to be okay again. What you need to do is you need to have healthy daily and weekly rhythms.
Yeah.
What does Sabbath look like? What does your daily rest look like? When do you unplug? And because the way that we pace ourselves for a marathon is very different than a sprint.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with either of those from an athletic perspective, but that's what I've been told, and I believe them.
That's awesome. So, you know what, Ed, it's interesting. When I moved to Edmonton, the thing that I was never really ever that disciplined with was working out. Maybe max 2 times a week, but typically it would be once or less where I'd exercise and whatnot. But what's interesting is when I came up to Edmonton, I created new rhythms, right? New schedule, new context, new rhythms, where before I went into the office, I was like, I have to go to the gym first. And it was just a quick 30-minute. It wasn't anything intense, but just making it a habit to say, okay, why is scripture reading a habit, but exercising isn't? So that was one discipline that I'd started. But when COVID-19 things started to shut down and my gym shut down, I was like, what am I going to do now? My habit is completely ruined. And it really took some creativity around, okay, what does that look like? But honestly, exercising for me, and I'm now at like 5 times a week. It's not daily. It's 5 or 6 times a week. But I've never, ever done that ever before in my life. And what's fascinating is there's that sense of, obviously I'm daily going to the scriptures, but just that exercise, that regular exercise, I find has really helped me in the midst of this crisis and all the decisions that I've had to make.
Yeah. And the hard thing for me, and again, I know that I totally don't want to be, in fact, I know one pastor, very overweight pastor who lost a lot of weight and wrote a whole book on losing weight and then gained all that weight back. So I am very humble in my advice giving. You know, if you've ever been around an ex-smoker, they're some of the most irritating people in the world around smokers. I'm not that person, but I'm just saying for my own life and in my own conviction, I'm trying to figure out how we can best take those next steps to wisely and graciously put more space and margin in my life where it might take more exercise and more ultimately to help for a longevity in what we're doing. And I think that's good, important advice. Let me again remind people, not perfect here, but Resilient Church Leadership is a resource that's hopefully helping people finish the long term.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. And yeah, we just so appreciate you taking the time to do that, to be a part of our podcast community and family. So yeah, if there's any questions that you have on this episode or anything that you'd like us to go a little bit deeper in on, excluding diet plans, just send that question in to speakpipe.com/newchurches. Or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right and send in the voicemail. And kind of looping things around, if you have a better intro.
Yes, please.
If you have a better intro, type that out.
Last chance.
Daniel, and email it to daniel@newchurches.com.
Last opportunity.
And yeah.
We need this. Remember, free copy, Breaking the 200 Barrier. Ed Stetzer, great for church plants.
Awesome. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next time.